I'd like to welcome you to our time of worship this morning and we gather together to celebrate Trinity Sunday. And as we join together then, we would like to welcome visitors amongst us today. May you be blessed and may this time be a time when you are connected with the Creator of the entire universe. May you be blessed in this time of worship as we gather our thoughts, our hearts, our faith, our voices together before God. So welcome to all of you today. As we celebrate Trinity Sunday, we are reminded that we worship God who is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or as we prefer to say these days, Creator, Redeemer, and Friend. As we come into this time of worship, I'd like to just thank Dr. Greg Cuthbertson for leading us on the accompaniment this morning. Unfortunately, yesterday we had a bit of a crash issue, and so the organ died for some reason, and that will get attention this week. And so he's then going to be playing the piano to accompany us for our worship. So these things, you know, kind of happen, and we know that what we do here today is to the praise and glory of God. And this is our prayer for this time of worship. That whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we pray, whatever we sing, may be to God's praise and glory. So thank you so much, Greg, for being too important for us. One of our organists, Dr. Billy Marivati, is not well, as you know, and I've just kept tabs with him. And Aunt Gloria over this last week, and really it's a roller coaster ride. 3 days he is doing fine, he's taken off the ventilator, and then for the next 3 days he's intubated and sedated again. And so it's been a really difficult time for Aunt Gloria and the family, and so we just remember them before God and pray, especially. And so today we lit the candle just in remembrance of those who are struggling with COVID-19. And I can tell you, as we stand today, in the last 2 weeks, there are 8 people I know who have died due to COVID-19. 8. Some of them, 4 of them have been clergy, colleagues of mine, and some other friends and people I know. And so we are mindful that we are in the middle of a pandemic. And that is why we say to you, if you have any kind of comorbidity issues, that you'd rather watch the service online and that you tune in via cyberspace. And we want to encourage you to be safe, to wear a mask, to physically distance from other people, and also to wash your hands as often as possible. So please observe the protocols that are in place for our safety. Now, I'm going to invite you to take a minute, just as we put ourselves into this time of worship, as we reconnect with God, and as we welcome the Lord into this house of prayer. Thank you. I invite you now to stand for our call to worship that is taken from the Revised Common Lectionary Psalm appointed for today, number 29. Let's stand as we recite together. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Let us worship the Lord. And so we sing our first hymn for today, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us, number 237 in the hymn book.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. And now, God's people, in the season of Pentecost, we come before God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us draw near to God with our prayers this morning in the name of Jesus. Let's gather together in prayer. And now you stand among us, risen Lord Jesus, that we may know the power of your life. Today we stand in wonder, in love, and in praise. O God, who makes all things new, you have so made us that we can know you and love you and trust you and serve you. So come, Spirit of life, who brings transformation. Today we offer ourselves so that you may transform the world through us. So many places, so many things, so many people need renewal. May we turn away from death, and may we be transformed into those who carry resurrection with us, always and everywhere. O God, who comes to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, meet us and transform our lives, for we know that it is we ourselves who need most to be changed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, receive our love and our devotion. Amen. And now, as I said earlier, the lectionary psalm appointed for today from the New Revised Standard Version, the Psalm of David, number 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the glory of his holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl, the strips, the forest bare, and all in his temple will say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Thanks, Greg. Friends, we're going to sing again our second hymn for today. O Holy Spirit, come to bless your waiting church, we pray. Thank you. And now, God's people, as we gather around the scripture, let us ask God's blessing on the reading and preaching of scripture. Let us pray together. O God, who makes all things new, speak to us as whole people today, and may your truth touch not just our intellects, but also our deeper yearnings of heart and soul. May your new creation in us shed light upon our everyday walk with Jesus. And Lord Jesus Christ, as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, make your presence known amongst us and fill us with your life so that we might become participants in your mission and increase our life throughout the whole world. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson for today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 10 from the New Revised Standard Version. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And so God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. The New Testament lesson is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11. "About this we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become dull in understanding. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil." In the name of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Friend. The topic and central question that I want to reflect on over the next 3 weeks is this: what does the Bible say about creation? This year, in January 2021, which was more or less the time that I began to prepare what I'm delivering over these next few weeks, in January 2021, South Africa learned that our Northern Cape Meerkat radio telescope has been quietly scanning the skies. And last year, scientists staffing Meerkat discovered two of the largest objects in the known universe. This is a picture of Meerkat, amazing piece of technology. And here is what Meerkat discovered. It is a radio telescope picture, and the red is an infrared overlay of radio waves coming off these galaxies. These scientists, right here in South Africa, discovered two immense galaxies, one that is so huge that it would take a spacecraft moving at the speed of light nearly 8 million years to traverse from one side to the other. That is to say, it is so big that it takes light 8 million years to travel across it. How mind-blowing is that? Friends, the next mathematical fact is that one of these galaxies, just one of these two that were discovered, is 62 times bigger than the entire Milky Way, which is our galaxy, which is our home. One of these galaxies discovered right here in South Africa is 62 times bigger than our entire Milky Way. The two galaxies that were discovered are 3.8 billion light years from Earth. In other words, the electromagnetic waves, the light that we are seeing today, left those galaxies when the Earth was just forming out of space and dust. And so immediately we have to say, the fact that we can see these galaxies means that the light left them from when Earth was just a cloud of dust. And what it means for us is that our universe must be older than 3.8 billion years. Scientists, in fact, calculate the age of the universe as 14.7 billion years old. And this is not a thumbsuck, but it is a mathematical calculation. And so I want you to appreciate the magnitude of the problem, because tens of thousands of Christians will object to everything that I've just told you, even though it is observable. They will say that there are no such galaxies that can exist, nor can they be so far away, because the Bible says that God made the earth and then the stars a mere 6,000 years ago. Well, in fact, the Bible never claims that the earth is 6,000 years old. There's not one verse that says that. And so we need to be clear on this, because it is a claim that you will hear many times on Facebook and on the internet and on social media and wherever. But nowhere does Scripture say that the earth is 6,000 years old. In fact, what we read about in the book of Genesis is that when God came to create the earth as we find it, the earth was already a formless void. It already existed in some form as God created it to be a place of God's creativity. And so the Bible never claims that the earth is 6,000 years old. And I have read the Bible a lot. And you can ask Mr. Google about that. And so scientists across the globe tell us that this galaxy that we are part of, that we can see so far away, exists 3.8 billion light years from where we are. But having said all of this, I also need to say that there are tens of millions of Christians who can accept this as fact, because our best science tells us that these things are indeed possible and that the data is mathematically accurate. In fact, our most famous Christian scientist right here in South Africa, who is a space scientist, Professor David Block, affirms that the scientific calculations that the Earth, that the universe is 14.7 billion years old. And he is a Christ follower and a believer. And he believes, as I believe, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a dilemma, do we not? At least, that is what we are told. Scientists show us that the planet Earth is 3.8 billion years old. And some Christians, certainly not the majority, claim that the Earth is only 6,000 years old. I know which one of those my money is on. So here is how I see it. The Bible is the foundational narrative for Christian faith and practice. And that's an open-ended and unbiased statement. The Bible is the foundational narrative for Christian faith and practice. And so as Christians, we can affirm the science as we have it as accurate, because we will argue that the biblical book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, is a reflection not upon the days of creation, but upon the character of God. That is to say, that Genesis tells us who God is rather than just about the works of God. Genesis is a reflection of the character and the nature and the creativity of God rather than a pre-scientific history of the earth. The truth is that the Bible is not a science book to teach us science. The Bible is a God book, and it is there to teach us about God. The Bible teaches us about spiritual faith, not specifically about science. In fact, the ancient people who wrote Genesis did not have a numbering system that is able to count to 3.8 billion. Nor was there anything in their experience that needed to be counted to a billion. So how could they possibly comprehend something like that? They didn't even have the language to express 3.8 billion as a number. And so I asked Mr. Google, how many zeros is a billion? And he told me that it was 9. 9 zeros preceded by 3.8. The people who wrote the book of Genesis could not even count to a billion, which is probably why they counted to 7, because it is a handy number for us to reduce things to, and it makes it easy to remember. So what we need to say is that, correctly interpreted, Genesis 1 is a poem, an epic poem, that utilizes poetic imagery to tell us about the character of God, that God is a creator. And that is what it tells us about who God is. It's not about the creation itself so much as it is a text about our God. The meaning of creation is not about atoms. It is about theology. It is about who God is for us. So listen to this. You know the medieval genius Leonardo da Vinci. He once declared that creation is the canvas upon which God has painted his character. Isn't that just what I'm saying? that we find in the pages of the book of Genesis, creation is the canvas upon which God has painted his character. Da Vinci got it. And St. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 20, says this: "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature, God's character has been clearly seen in creation." And so Paul, in Romans chapter 1, is making exactly the same point, that in the creation that God has made, we see the creative character of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Go and look it up. This is exactly the same idea as what Da Vinci proposes. So this morning, I want to make the point that the scripture is not for us about science. It is about who God is and how we may know God, which is even the next step that we can go to, how you and I may come to know God. The scripture for us is a religious text. It is not a science text, and therefore there is no conflict. Friends, science is not an attack on the Bible. Rather, science for us unpacks the true beauty of God's miraculous creation. And I want to show you some slides as we go along. What do you see? Just a master creator in this picture. This is an entire spiral galaxy of billions and billions and billions of stars. Isn't that amazing? This is who God is for us. The character of God is a creator. I'm told that this is a picture from the Hubble Space Telescope, and there are multiple billions of stars within this one picture. The following pictures are also from Hubble Space Telescope. It's a satellite telescope that circles up there in the sky. What a beautiful picture of a nebula. Doesn't that just fill you with inspiration? This doesn't say that there's no God. This tells me that God is bigger than all of this, that God is the creator of all of this magnificence. And it is vast, more vast than we can ever imagine. Another picture from Hubble. The God that we worship has made all of this, has painted his character on the canvas of creation. This is a star nursery. It is a place where stars are born. As dust gathers and chemical reactions take place, stars are formed in just such a place. Another picture captured by the Hubble telescope. Friends, let the beauty of nature remind us of the goodness of God. Let the beauty of nature remind us of the character of God. For it is this that the scripture is pointing us to. Science unpacks for us the amazing splendor of creation. When our children were still at school, we joined the planetarium at Wits University, and we took them there on Friday nights to go and experience the wonders of what God has made. This is not something that makes us not believe. It is something that makes us say, "Hallelujah, what a fantastic, beautiful, marvelous, miraculous creation that our God has made." Science unpacks the splendor of creation for us so that we can look up at the stars and marvel at God's universe, so that we can wake up in the morning and stand in our garden and look at the sunrise coming up and marvel at what God has made. Because God looks at all of this and God says, "It is good." it is good. And so the writer of the Hebrews admonishes the church, by now you should have been teachers, but you need again to be taught the simplest things about what God has said. You need milk instead of solid food. For people who live on milk are like babies who don't really know what is right. Solid food is for the mature who have been trained to know right from wrong. Our scripture points us to the amazing creative character of God. And I want to say on this Trinity Sunday that ultimately the creation of the universe is the story of the new creation in Christ. And so we can connect the Old Testament with the new. And next week I'm going to be unpacking some of that story of how God in creation connects the Old Testament with the new. For the witness of the New Testament is that Christ was present at the creation of the universe. And the witness of Scripture is that the Spirit of God was present at the creation. As the book of Genesis says, the Spirit hovered over the waters. Today, on this Trinity Sunday, we affirm the Trinitarian role in creation as revealed to us in Scripture. The Trinity, this is the Christian belief where God is one in three persons, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Perhaps some people think that this is craziness, but for Christians, this community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is how God moves, how God relates, how God dances and manifests God's self in the world, always through relationship. And it is this same God who made this magnificence of creation, who invites us into a relationship with himself. In many ways, the Trinity is an entanglement that keeps unfolding back and forth, a sign and a metaphor for our own ways of being in community together, of being different and yet being part of the same life of Christ. God and humans and other beings, the earth, the rivers, the oceans, the air, everything is in a big, huge relationship of belonging and entanglement. We are inseparable from the world that surrounds us. We are inseparable beings from the creation of God. And thus Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Redeemer of this world, is also the Spirit of God, fully alive in the natural world. What I wanted to do today was to give you a picture, just a sense of the glimpse of the amazing creation that we are part of. And in our lives as Christians, we must start to relate the life of the Trinity, the life that is in God, the life that is in the resurrected Jesus, the life that is in the Spirit who hovers over the waters, with the life of the earth. And so we can relate together, we can dance together, we can live together in community as God, the Trinity, exists in community. More than ever, we need to gain an awareness of the Spirit of creation so that we can come to fully understand the eternal love of God for the world. Friends, a theological reflection on creation is not mere theory, but it reminds us that we are dust. Yes, we are stardust, for sure, but we are an integral part of God's creation. Reflecting on creation reminds us that we see the very character of God in God's creation. On this Trinity Sunday, we are reminded of the essential relationship between Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit. We are also reminded of our own essential relationship with the God of creation. In it, we see God's ongoing creative acts. As God continues to be involved in creation, in renewing, in remaking, in transforming. And this is how St. Paul comes to the theological conclusion that God is renewing the entirety of creation. As we see this set out in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 23. So for those who are interested in this kind of thing, this is a theological approach known as process theology, based upon the work of Alfred North Whitehead. So what I've shared today is underpinned by a formal theological system. And I want to leave you with these two thoughts for today. The first is that God reveals himself in Scripture, and the character of God is revealed in Scripture for us. And the second thought that I want to leave with you is that Scripture witnesses to the ongoing creative acts of God. And so necessarily, as we come next week to part two to reflect on the creation of God, we come then to look at how God continues to recreate us and is involved in this ongoing act of creation. For St. Paul says, you are a new creation in Christ. And St. John the Divine says in the book of Revelation, behold, I see a new heaven and a new earth, for God has made all things new. God continues to act in an ongoing creative process. May God continue to bless us in these things. Amen. This is a time for our offertory, and so let us join together as we pray for those who have special needs, and especially as we give thanks for God's provision and sustenance in our lives. Let us pray together. O God of grace, God of glory, God of magnificent splendor, God who creates, God who provides all things for our sustenance. We give you thanks and praise that you sustain us, that you have loved the world so much that you gave your only Son. And we come to give you thanks and praise and to honor you today. And so we bring before you these gifts of money, and we ask, Lord, that you will take these gifts and bless them and multiply them in the service of your kingdom. But more than that, we bring ourselves, and we ask that you will take us and use us to proclaim your love and your goodness to a world fraught with violence and death. We come to you today to give you thanks and praise for all your goodness. We give you thanks and praise for the magnificence of what you have made. We give you thanks and praise that you continue to be present in our own lives. And so we come before you with joy and with thanksgiving. Receive us now in these gifts that we bring. Lord, we want to ask you to bless those who suffer with illness. And especially, we remember Dr. William Mariotti. We just lift him before your own throne of grace. And Lord, we ask that you will touch his life and strengthen him. We pray that you will restore him to his family in health and strength. God of miracles and God of wonder, as we admire your magnificence today, we come to place our own needs at your feet. This we ask and pray in the love of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Just a reminder. We do prefer, you know, electronic payments because we don't pay the cash deposit fees and things like that. So that is available in the pew leaflet, which is sent out electronically. There is a wonderful hymn of faith that goes like this. Love divine, all loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us your humble dwelling, all your faithful mercies crown. Jesus, you are all compassion, boundless love that makes us whole. Visit us with your salvation, enter every trembling soul. Finish then your new creation, pure and sinless let us be. Let us see your great salvation, perfect in eternity. As we sing to God's praise and glory today about the love of God, let us focus and reflect on these words as they speak to us. Friends, before you take your seats, let us pray together the prayer for Africa. God bless Africa. God bless Africa. God, her children, guide her leaders and give us peace. Amen. And now, God's people, filled with resurrection life, we now offer ourselves to be life bringers to the world. Touched by resurrection, we pledge to resist death wherever we may find it. Filled with hope, we embrace the promise of eternity and the call to make it known at every opportunity. So then, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Thank you. We've come to the end of our service of worship today. We invite you just to remain quiet as you leave the sanctuary in the spirit of prayer. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.